Well, good morning. It's good to be back. Thought about you guys and prayed for you every day. Maybe not by name, all of you. Some of you, the Lord put you on my heart. I pray for. Amen. Good to be back. Thank you, Adam, taking leadership there and preaching. And thank you. Appreciate that. Good to see everybody. Matthew chapter 10. Let's go there. So if you're visiting with us, we're still going through the Matthew chapter 10. I believe where we left off last year was verse 24 through 42. So we'll start out at 24, and so let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, as always. I just want to start out by saying thank you, thank you, thank you so much for how you've blessed our church, blessed America, and all the things you're doing around the world, spreading the gospel. We pray for our missionaries and our military, that you'll help them in whatever's going on. Lord, we ask you to help Ren, or whatever's going on in his life over there, serving you in the military. We ask that you'll help him, that you'll work out whatever your plan is in his life, and I know you will. So we just lift him up to you. And Lord, good to see Lynn this morning. Father, we love you, thank you, and help me teach this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so I've been advised over the last couple of years by some very wise people that I do respect, not to apologize so much from the pulpit like I do. I guess that's my, inexperience. But after 5 years, I'm kind of getting it, But I do want to apologize. This scripture this week was a real challenge for me, And so I'm having to get into some pretty deep things. And so it was challenging for me, but I feel like the Lord helped me. And so here we go. Amen. Back to Matthew, chapter 10, verse 24. And let's read it. It's a lot, so hang with me. It says, verse 24, "The student is not above the teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for students to be like their teachers and servants like their masters. If the head of the house has been called Beelzebul, how much more the members of his household? So do not be afraid of them, for there is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the roofs. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Verse 29, are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before others, I will disown before my Father in heaven. Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. Anyone who loves their father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves their son or daughter more than me is just not worthy of me. Whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. Anyone who welcomes you welcomes me. And anyone who welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Verse 41. Whoever welcomes a prophet as a prophet will receive a prophet's reward, and whoever welcomes a righteous person as a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. And if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones, who is my disciple, truly I tell you, that person will certainly not lose their reward. Amen? Now you see why I started out that way? Quite an interesting scripture, but I've put some extra time into this one, and I want to try to explain it the way I feel like that I've studied this. So I've entitled this message, Emulating Jesus. Emulating Jesus. Now the word emulate means to strive to imitate. Okay? The Bible teaches we are in every way to grow to be more and more Christ-like, who is the head of the church. So that's what this means. Ephesians 4:15 says this. Ephesians 4:15 says, we speak the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, and that is Jesus Christ. So he's talking to the church here. The goal of discipleship, we watched a little video on that. The goal of discipleship is to be more and more Christ-like. In other words, it's to imitate or emulate Jesus Christ. Now I know we'll never get there, but the idea is to be more and more like Christ. And really, that's basically allowing the Holy Spirit to produce His fruit in our life on a daily basis. Now, in this passage, the scriptures we just read, there are three things that we'll find out about ourselves if we really are emulating Christ. If we're trying to follow Jesus, we're trying to be a doer of the word and not just a hearer only. Amen? So here are the three things. The first one is, if you're taking notes, the first one is, expect slander. Go ahead and expect it. Expect slander. Okay? If you try to really live according to the Bible and really try to follow Christ like we've been talking about this whole time in Matthew, people will occasionally make fun of you. Especially young folks, you know, they will. If you try to do the right thing, you try to obey God, you try to listen to the Holy Spirit, He's guiding you and say no or say yes or whatever, people will make fun of you. People will mock you behind your back. Won't they? Adults. Yeah, and some adults experience that within their circle of friends or in their workplace and this kind of thing. People will mock you. They'll say things about you. Oh, you're Miss Goody Two Shoes. Where'd that even come from, Goody Two Shoes? There's got to be some kind of meaning behind that. Oh, you're just one of them religious people. You know, they will do that. Jesus is warning us ahead of time to prepare yourself. Okay? Says, in this section, Jesus gives us a strong, everybody say strong, a strong teaching about discipleship, about seriously following the Lord. Matthew, let's start out with verse 24. It says, the student is not above the teacher, nor a servant above his master. Now, a disciple is one who learns from and becomes like his or her teacher. Now, you see this a lot with preachers and people who have opportunity to get up and speak in front of people, okay, about the Word of God. Especially with preachers. Because you take a preacher, I've had several friends that joke about this, but if you listen to a certain preacher on the radio or, you know, buy their CDs or download their stuff, you listen to them over and over in sermons, and that's a good thing. You know, back and forth, 40-minute drive to work, you keep listening to them. After a while, that preacher will start what? Sounding like them. their tone, everything. They'll start sounding like them. You used to see that a lot back in the 80s and 90s. At least I did. I mean, I could tell the Southern Baptist preacher from a bunch of other preachers just by the way their tone. You know what I mean? They all kind of had this tone about them, you know. Pentecostal preachers, that's obvious, right? I mean, nothing wrong or right with it, but whoever you're following and listening to, we do have a chance to pick up their mannerisms, we pick up their, and so that's what kind of what Jesus is talking about here. It says a servant or slave, in today's times, we refer to them as an employee. Sorry, but really a servant or a slave / employee is one who is beneath their master socially and economically. Okay? This illustration teaches us two very important things about discipleship. Okay? It's humility and submission. Humility and submission. Very important when you talk about getting into serious discipleship. Making a commitment, a decision to come underneath someone or a group and grow in Christ. Especially like a year. I just mentioned it's going to be a year. Verse 25a says, it is enough for students to be like their teachers and servants like their masters. Jesus is basically saying everyone who is fully trained will be like his teacher. That's kind of the example I gave earlier. Luke 6:40 says this too. It says, the student is not above the teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like their teacher. It says, we pour ourselves into God's Word. I kind of like what the D-Lock guy said, that the Bible is the only textbook that they use. Now, they have this little journal thing where you write in and, write stuff. But when you're pouring into God's Word and you're pouring into Bible study and Bible reading, after a while, you have a tendency to act, sound like the Lord.
You know whose Bible this is? You recognize it?
Probably someone who visited, maybe from another church or something. Does anybody pick this Bible up and look at it? I did, trying to find a name. But if you look through this, really, you might not see it, but you see the notes on the side? That is everywhere in this whole entire Bible. Not the whole thing. I mean, it's all through it. I mean, just underline. Well, anyway, when I looked at it carefully, it was just, I mean, everywhere. You see it right here? I mean, just over and over and over where a person has written. See? Okay, maybe it's been a long time in the New Testament. But this, it about made me cry the other day because I thought, man, whoever lost it, obviously they lost it. Whoever put this much, writing on the margins, they love Jesus. They love His Word. I've been asking the Lord to help me return it, find out whose it is. But come take a look at it and see if you recognize or recognize the handwriting or something. See? But this person, to me, in my opinion, it could be right or wrong, but in my opinion, this person understands the voice of the Holy Spirit. This person understands Jesus. I bet this person, when they walk around, they have peace in their life. Because they've been getting into God's Word and taking notes. Making little personal notes. So please, check it out. Now, 25C, we're talking about being slanders. Jesus mentions here about how the Jews called Him a slanderous word. Okay? 25C says this. If the head of the house has been called Beelzebul, How much more the members of the household? Okay, the name Beelzebul or Beelzebub, you know, is a term, it's a slanderous term. It means, it can mean the Lord of Dung or the ruler of demons. Basically, in other words, it's saying, it's really referring to Satan. And that's what these Jewish folks threw this at Jesus about him being this. So if Jesus, who is perfect, and he's the essence of love, if they tried to slander him and talk about him, how much more are they going to talk about us? Because we're not perfect at all, you know, right? So to emulate Jesus, to emulate or imitate Jesus, expect slander. Number two, taking notes, number two, expel fear. Expel fear. As we follow Jesus, we can expect to be, you know, expect that slander and be persecuted. But Jesus says we are not to fear those who are negative and persecute us. Don't fear them. 26a says, do not be afraid of them. Proverbs 29, 25 says, fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. Now this is for someone, maybe it was for me, I don't know, but listen closely to this. Fear of man will prove to be a snare. And what that means is if you continually worry about someone or you're fear or afraid of them, the snare part is you will make a mistake walking in that fear. Now, how many has ever done that at your job, at your work? I have. I'm so afraid of, you know, making a mistake, and when the boss comes around, if you're struggling with past hurts or low self-worth, you'll stumble over your feet and make a mistake because of simply being afraid of that man, having fear of that person. And the interesting thing is you could think, I know how to do that. I've done it 1,000 times. Why did I make that mistake? Because of the fear of man. So be careful of that one. Jesus continues in 26b by saying, the time is coming when everything is covered will be revealed, and everything hidden will be made known. Now, the Bible's pretty serious about this. In time, as we go along in life, you know, sin will be revealed and righteousness will be revealed. Even if it's, you know, when we get to heaven maybe. But be sure your sins will find you out. Amen? So if we, talking myself too, if we are dealing with secret sins, and we need to confess those, ask the Lord to forgive us. You know? Ecclesiastes 12:14. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil. Everybody still with me? Amen? Now, Jesus tells his disciples in verse 27, as we go through these scriptures, he told them that in the dark, or privately, that's what that really means, they are to repeat in the light. And what he told them by whispering, say, in their ear, he said, don't worry about the crowds. Get up on the rooftops and shout it as loud as you can. In other words, tell the people that the Lord's coming back. Tell them. I don't want you getting on top of your house and shouting it out, right? But tell them, you know, don't be afraid of people. Share the gospel. couple of days ago, I ordered these little cards. It says, "You're invited." And on the back of the card, it's probably about his church, and has some cool stuff about our church. And so they should be here in a couple of weeks. Very excited about, you know, but we'll talk about that later. So you can just give away a card when the Lord puts it on your heart, you know. Instead of saying, "Hey, why don't you come visit my church? Where are you at?" And if they're from, they might not know where we're at or how to find us. And if you tell a waitress, she's going to forget it 10 minutes later. You know what I mean? How to get here, what the name of your church was. So we'll talk more about that. Now, Jesus is warning us here that there sometimes is a price to pay, you know, for sharing the gospel. There's always a reward. Okay? Change a life. Change a family. You change a whole generation. Years to come. But there's sometimes a price to pay. It could be a little price, or it could be something big. You never know. Verse 28 says, "Do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell." Now, I want to point out there's two things here, okay? In the first sentence there, the word fear, or some translations have afraid, the word fear or afraid is referring to fright or terror. In other words, don't be afraid and terrified by those folks or whatever situation is going on. The second sentence has this, the same but a different word for fear or afraid. The word fear in this sentence refers to reverence or awe. You know, I'm at awe, I'm reverence. In other words, that's referring to God. You know, not to be afraid of God like the first one. But the second one is more being respectful. At awe. Okay? Why? Our love and reverence for God must supersede the fear of the persecution, ever how small or maybe ever how large. Now, God warns us about the certainty of persecution so it will not surprise us. We'll know what's happening. We'll know what's going on. 2 Timothy 3:12 says this, "In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted." It sounds very encouraging, doesn't it? You know, but hey, it's the Word of God, and Jesus is basically just, you know, young people especially, you know, just be encouraged because Jesus is warning you that if you're really going to live for Him, or even older folks too, if you're going to live for Him, you know, may not always be happy good times. Now, Jesus continues in verse 29. He's reminding his disciples that two sparrows are sold for a penny. And yet not one sparrow falls to the ground without him knowing about it. I got into all this stuff about sparrows and pennies, but I'm going to leave that out because it's kind of a longer message. The sparrows had very little value, you know. Then, and with one penny, you can buy two sparrows. And yet God knows when one of them falls to the ground. His disciples are worth more than these sparrows. That's what Jesus told them. Verse 31, he says, "So don't be afraid. You're worth more than the sparrows." Why? Because God loves us. God loves us. He has a great, great love for us. Now, verse 30 says, "And even the very hairs on your head are all numbered." God knows each hair on your head. He understands the details about you. every little detail, every little thing that you're going through, whatever's happening to you, whether it's good or bad, whatever your challenges are, God knows every one of them. In God's hands, we are presently and eternally safe and secure. Talked about this a little bit in the men's Bible study Wednesday night. Proverbs 18:10. The name of the Lord is a fortified tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. It's like if you're running for shelter, you're running from something that may harm you. It's like running and then sliding underneath this shelter. Boom. And you're safe. You're underneath His wings. Jesus now emphasizes the importance of taking a stand for Him. In verse 32, it says, "Whoever acknowledges me before others, I will acknowledge before my Father in heaven." Now listen closely to this right here. Okay? The word translated knowledge, or some of your translations say confess, it means to agree. It means to speak and say and act the same thing. Okay? Listen closely. This might help you understand this verse a little bit. It helped me a lot. It means declaring allegiance to Christ. That's what it means. It means declaring allegiance to Christ. See, just believing in Jesus is not enough. Just believing in Jesus is not enough. James 2:19 said, "Even the demons believe and shudder." See, but demons do not declare their allegiance to Christ. To become believers, we must acknowledge and receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We make an allegiance to Him. We pledge to serve Him. We ask Him to come into our life, forgive us of our sins, repent of our sins, and then we pledge allegiance to Him. See, to acknowledge or confess Jesus before men means we identify with Him, His people, the church. That's one of the big reasons for baptism. Not that we get baptized to be saved, that's not what I'm talking about, but being baptized is an outward expression that we believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, and that we're publicly making an allegiance to serve Him. Make this public with our church family, the body of Christ. See, the first step in affirming and confessing before men is what we call getting saved. You know, everybody knows what that means, right? I just explained it, really. But it means, you know, that what we understand is getting saved and born again and then being baptized, you know, is an outward expression. Verse 33, Jesus next warns of the alternative. Okay, y'all hear me? You with me? The alternative of not getting saved and not going through that path. Anyone who denies Jesus before men, he will deny before his Father in heaven. Don't let that one sink in, because the devil loves to play havoc on that one. He loves to play that one. Like, oh, you know, one day you're going to be afraid. You're going to deny Jesus. Jesus is going to deny you. No, if you're saved, born again, washed in the blood of Christ, adopted in the family of God, you're not going to deny them. So you don't have to worry about that. It's the people that are not saved. They are denying Christ. They're rejecting Christ along the way in their life. And finally, when they die and they stand before God in heaven, what's Jesus going to say? He's going to say, depart from me, right? He says, I never knew you. If you don't get saved, Jesus will say that when you're standing before the Father. Depart from me. I never knew you. And Jesus will deny you. So to emulate Jesus, expect slander. Expel fear. And the last one, number three. Examine the reward. Examine the reward. The Jews thought when the Messiah came, he would establish a time of world peace. And that was just not true. Verse 34 clears that right up. It says, do not suppose, this is Jesus, says, do not suppose I have come to bring peace to earth. I do not come to bring peace, but a sword. The word sword refers to the suffering that his followers will experience because of their loyalty and their allegiance. And this suffering could be a very small thing like most of us experience in America. Right? Can it be true? Most of us really don't suffer for Christ. We might get our feelings hurt when somebody calls you a Jesus freak. Right? Oh, I hurt my feelings, you know. But there's people around the world that are really being persecuted physically and every other way, you know, for serving Christ. The sword means to cut, or more specifically, to divide. Cut and divide. To be friends with the ways of the world is hostility toward God. James 4:4 says this. Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Jesus explains that even family members will be set against each other, and some enemies will come from their own households. So we have to understand this correctly, okay? 35 and 36, this is what he says. For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against his mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. That's real strong. Sometimes I kind of like, oh, I don't really like that one, right? Don't hold it against me, it's just I'm being real with you. But when you really look at it, understand it, it answers a lot of those questions. You see, some family members will reject Christ. But that doesn't mean that we stop praying for them. Because you never know, it might be tomorrow. It might be next week, next month, next year. I don't know. None of us know. But in reality of it all, the big picture, some family members just will not accept Christ. And Jesus is trying to warn us here. Be strong. Put your faith in Him. There will always be opponents to the gospel. And sadly, sometimes the family members or close friends are opponents. You get saved, you get born again, those old friends are like cockroaches. When you walk around and you get around them, this is my experience. When I got saved, you know, the light of Jesus, I was fired up for the Lord, you know. Remember those days? Fired up for the Lord, you know. And so this light was, you know, coming out of me. I'd get around my old friends, and my light was exposing their darkness. Some of you grew up in the country, right? I may have told this story before, but I grew up poor, you know, and sometimes you get up at night to get a little snack or water, turn the kitchen light on, and roaches are scattered to the dark places. Don't hold it against me. The light will expose those roaches, and they run to where? The dark places. Those people still living in the dark, when your light comes around, it exposes their sin and wickedness. Just because you start talking about Jesus, and they don't want to hear it. And they'll shun you. Anybody ever been shunned by some friends because of your faith? Or shunned by even family members because you decided to serve Jesus? And they didn't want to get involved in all that religious stuff. All that crutch stuff. Thirty-seven, thirty-eight. Anyone who loves their father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves their son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Man, that's strong. Some are lost. Some will try to discourage you. Dad, why are you going? Why are you always going to church all the time? Mom, why you always go? You work all day and you go up there on Wednesday night. Why do you do that? I don't even. So even your children will try to discourage you. Your grown children, you know. Whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me. That's what Jesus said. Remember, some people are saved, some people not. Your cross is whatever makes it difficult for you to faithfully follow Christ. Pick up my cross daily and follow Jesus. My cross is whatever it is I'm going through at that particular time that makes it hard or difficult or, you know, that's what I need to work on. That's usually a character defect or something, you know, that's in me that I need to change. Makes it hard for me. Now, the Christian life is a paradox. Okay? Verse 39. Whoever finds their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. Think about that. It seems kind of interesting, right? Jesus ends this passage with some very encouraging words for his disciples. Verse 40 says, anyone who welcomes you welcomes me. Anyone who welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Now listen to this one real closely right here, and I'm getting ready to close. How people treat one of Jesus' followers represents the attitude that they have toward Jesus. Think about that one. Verse 41. Whoever welcomes a prophet as a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And whoever welcomes a righteous person as a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. Okay, a prophet in this text here is one who proclaims God's word. It's one who proclaims God's word. A righteous person in this scripture right here is a person, a devout disciple of Jesus. And the word receives here, in that scripture, the word receives means to receive the messenger and the message. That's what Jesus is telling us. You may ask a question, what if a follower of Jesus is not a preacher? Or missionary, or full-time in the ministry. What about that? What does Jesus say about his little ones? Those who may seem to be insignificant. Seems to be. It's the key word. Insignificant. See, little ones, this is what it means. If you look it up in the Greek. Little ones means someone serving God in what may look like a small way. And that's just looking at it through man's eyes. You know, oh, I'm the preacher. So what? I'm the popular evangelist. So what? Oh, I'm one of the deacons. I'm the chairman of the deacons. Picking on Peter. We are no better than someone who comes in when no one's looking, picks up trash off the floor. They may come in to look at something and they say, oh, and they pick up trash. Or puts flags out there every holiday when no one's looking. He's here early and doing that. That's just as important as me standing up here for 30 minutes and sharing God's word. You know, you guys come down, take up the offering, see the little kids come down too. That's just as important in God's kingdom, serving. 42, verse 42. And if anyone gives a cup of cold water, just a cup of cold water to one of these little ones who is my disciple, truly I tell you, that person will certainly not lose their reward. No act of kindness toward any follower of Christ will not lose their reward. Every person, everybody say every. Every person serving the Lord in any way is important to Jesus. You could be the one who takes that bulletin every Tuesday night in your bedroom on your knees praying for every person in there, and no one would ever know. Jesus knows. He keeps good records. And He knows. And He loves you. And He's proud of you. It could be those serving in the nursery, teaching Sunday school, serving as ushers, greeters, committee members, whatever we're doing for the body of Christ. So, as we follow Christ, first thing, expect the slander. Next one, expel the fear. And the third one is to examine the reward. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we love you and thank you. Thank you for your word. Lord, I pray if there's anyone here that has never accepted you as their personal Savior, during this song of invitation, Lord, they'll come down. I'll be glad to pray with them. Maybe there's someone this morning that's thinking about getting baptized. This will be a great time. Start a new year following Jesus in baptism. Maybe someone would like to join our church. Or if they want to join our fellowship, I ask that they come down and talk with me. Or they can raise their hand at me, wink at me, whatever they want to do. Lord, we love you and we thank you. Thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.